This episode of Blowjam is brought to you by Roan.com. Get 20% off at tryroan.com/blow when you use code BRIDGE20. Hey buddies, it's Blowjam Presents Pod Smash, the world's best podcast that reviews podcasts. I am your esteemed host, Delia Blowjam, and I am joined with my co-host, Ryan Blowjam.
That's me.
And we got a special edition of the pod today. We are doing spoiler alerts.
Spoilers!
Oh yeah. So if you haven't heard the podcast Hitman, turn this the fuck off.
Hitman!
And which one are you doing, Buggy?
I'm doing the thing about Pam.
Yes, the thing about Pam. So if you haven't heard the thing about Pam, don't listen to this episode. Shut it off.
Yeah.
You gotta go check these shows out.
Yeah, if you haven't heard the thing about Pam,
then go fuck yourself and go listen to it.
Go to bed. Haven't, like, 6 to 8 hours sleep.
Then, while you're listening to it.
And then wake up and take a shower, you know, do whatever you gotta do. And then
make some toast.
Make some toast, yeah. Maybe a bagel.
Do a workout.
Do a workout.
Go for a swim.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. You go swim in the river.
Jerk off.
Jerk off.
In the river.
Whatever you gotta do to make it happen, you know? And then.
Yo, fish love spit. And jizz. You ever jizz in a lake?
Yeah, so if you spit and jizz in the river, fish are going to come up to you. Probably suck your dick, so you're going to get a good dick suck.
And you know what? Fish love the podcast Hitman and the podcast The Thing About Pam.
Yeah, so listen to those, and then after you jizz and get sucked out by a fish in the river, come back and listen to this episode.
Yes. Don't leave us hanging.
Yes.
Just go do your homework and come back.
Yeah.
So this one's for all you fishies out there. All right. I'm going to start with Hitman. It's a podcast that's about a triple homicide that was totally inspired and followed step by step by this how-to manual called Hitman, a guide to independent contractors for murder or whatever it's called.
Independent Contractor's Guide to Murder.
Yes.
It's how to get away with it, pretty much. It's like a handbook for, like, hey, you want to kill somebody? Get away with it?
Here's how.
Step one, step two. Yep.
And since three people were killed, it was pulled from the shelves. The situation was, there was this guy who was a piece of shit. He was an engineer at Motown Records. His name was Lawrence T. Horn. Otherwise known as the man with the plan.
That's where they was in Motown.
I know, and a studio engineer. He could very well have engineered Pod Smash and Blowjam.
Could have been a podcaster.
Yeah, you know what? We should go visit him in jail and bring our equipment.
I mean, he's involved with, like, Motown, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah, he was like Barry Gordy.
Barry Gordy's the shit, too. Like,
yeah, he's a pimp.
It's the whole Detroit thing, man.
Listen to Disgraceland, Motown edition. Yeah. Anyway, wow, that's like a huge sidetrack.
It crosses over a little bit, I think.
It does, yeah. And like, he's one of the few engineers at Motown to actually like get his name printed, like in the credits. So he was a big deal. And him and his wife had a very tumultuous relationship, and one of their children was severely disabled. And so rather than deal with the legal battles and alimony and disability and all that, nah, he's like, I'll just kill them. And I think that there was some life insurance involved. So he hired this guy. By the way, what's his face? Larry or whatever the fuck. He was like out in LA or some shit, but they lived in Detroit. So yeah, it was really fucking fucked up. So this is all about the author who went under a pseudonym named Rex Farrell.
Yeah, Rex Farrell is supposed to be like a manly,
like a misogynist, manly man.
Yeah. And the whole book is misogynist. It's like talking down to women. Women have like one function to like serve men.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. Like, but they were saying like a woman could be like a better hitman in the book too. It was like bizarre, dude.
Yeah.
The whole thing is this, I don't know. It's really fucked up.
It was a very comprehensive guy.
But it's from Paladin Press, which also like published like the Anarchist Cookbook, which I got into when I was a child.
Who doesn't?
Which would probably put you on a list if you bought it now. So don't buy any of these books.
Don't.
You're going to be on the FBI like watch list.
It's not like you can walk into Barnes & Noble and pick up Hitman.
You can definitely get it online, probably up the dark web. But yeah, Anarchist Cookbook is like bomb recipes. Ever know how to make a pipe bomb or a C4 or napalm?
I know you do. Because you've done it.
Yeah. It wasn't a good idea. But, you know, what are you going to do when you're 14? And then you're like, oh, yeah, there's pot. And then I gave up on the explosives.
Yeah, then you calm the fuck down.
Yeah, then you calm down. And you're like, hey, I don't want to blow anything up. Everything's fine. Everything's all right. All right, but anyway, Hitman.
Yes. So, actually, the big reveal to this, well, essentially it's like, oh, did Lawrence, you know, kill his family because the person he hired left no trace of evidence behind because he followed the book, Hitman. It was comprehensive, step by step, and so he executed it perfectly. Mm-hmm. But come to find out, because nobody knew who the fucking author was, the book was sold to Paladin with a special clause, which is they have all legal responsibility for whatever happens, and the author must be anonymous. Well, guess what? The author is a woman.
Which is crazy.
Yes, her name is Karen Abbott. She's a grandma. And it's fucking insane. And it was supposed to be a fictional novel, but she took it to Paladin Press, and they're like, you know what? We only do, like, how-to guides or field manuals.
Yeah, they
want to
do, like, manuals, yeah.
So she was like, okay, you know, I'll switch up the format. And then come to find out what happened as a result of her book. And so she wanted it pulled from the shelves.
Yeah, after like the first two murders, she was like, she wanted it pulled off the shelves, yeah. And they were like, nope, it's our bestseller, so.
Yeah.
There goes that. Corporate greed, man.
Well, and by the way, I totally glazed over the victims, which is not fair. So it's Lawrence T. Horn's ex-wife, Millie, and their son, Trevor, and even his caregiver, Janice Saunders, had died. So all these three people died as a result of, you know, Paladin Press and Karen Abbott, who had no desire to even, like, make it turn out this way. She just wanted it to be a book.
Yeah, it started out being, like, fiction, but it was, like, she wanted to write it from the perspective of the hitman.
Mm-hmm.
But it was too dark for people to publish it, you know, so she went to Paladin.
People would love it these days.
They would love it these days, but back then it was too dark, you know.
Yeah.
She's like, wow, that's pretty morbid. But,
I just had no clue by the way that they were talking about Rex Farrell. And by the way, it's spelled F-E-R-A-L, like a feral rabbit or something.
Feral animal.
Yeah. And like, you
Rex
know.
Feral.
Just everything, like the description
it's
and
like
all
Max
this.
Max Power or something. Max Power.
It was just jaw-dropping. And actually, a couple Pod Smashes ago, or maybe it was even the last one, Ryan brought this up as one of his top three feed hits, and I'm like, fuck, you know, you shouldn't have told me. It's literally the first thing they say in the most recent episode. I'm like, yeah, I was listening, and I fell asleep, and I missed it. No, I just, like, didn't listen at all. I looked at my feed, and I never pressed play.
It's definitely a spoiler. Like,
it's an immediate spoiler.
I was like, holy shit, that's a woman?
Yeah, that's amazing.
But, yeah. They still got more episodes, right? It's still going on, I think.
Yeah, I think there's, like, one more. Yeah, there's one more. There have been 7, and there's supposed to be 8, so.
Hitman is crazy.
Who knows? Maybe the last episode's going to be nuts, and we'll have to do it on another special edition. Spoiler alert.
Well, I'll give it 2 thumbs up or whatever.
Yeah, I give it, like, 5 pieces of recording studio foam and, like, a carp with a bunch of. I give it, like, 8 thumbs.
Well, this is different, so it's got to be like a...
It's a fucking fish full of jizz.
You have 4 thumbs tops, because you got maybe your toe thumbs.
My toe thumbs?
You can give it two thumbs up and maybe two toe thumbs.
Okay. All right. I'm down.
Or you want to give it pinkies? How many pinkies?
I'll give it like four pinkies.
Give four pinkies up.
Two middle, two finger pinkies down. Oh, Jesus Christ. Just finish your fucking thought. And that's right, it. Fine. It was just, the whole thing, like, throws you for a loop, but just finding out that this very, you know, masculine, misogynist, anonymous author was a woman. Okay. It's on to you. All right.
Hey guys, girls, and all you coolies in between, Roan is offering an opportunity to receive 20% off Roan products at tryroan.com. Now, Roan is a men's performance lifestyle and premium activewear brand that is engineered for unparalleled quality and comfort. And I don't know if you know this, but I am not a man, but I'm married to one, and Ryan fucking loves it. And that's because Roan makes something for the modern man, regardless of the occasion, in addition to an awesome collection of premium shorts, shirts, tank tops, socks, swimwear. Roan engineers clothing that's perfect for the office, long flights, and commutes. And Roan's commuter collection, in particular, is their performance alternative to everyday workwear. Roan offers everything from pants, polos — Ryan fucking loves polos — and shorts and shirts that are all lightweight, comfortable, and wrinkle-free. Wrinkle-free, that's a selling point right there. So also, the commuter collection is good for all weather. Anytime from a weekday in the workplace to a weekend barbecue, that's the best when you have apparel that is perfect for any occasion. You don't have to change it up every day, from work to the home to the parties and what have you. It's just like, hey, whatever, it fits. And Roan, I gotta say, it's spelled R-H-O, N as in Nancy, E as in Edward. You absolutely must check it out and get that 20% off, yo. So to save 20% on your first order, go to tryroan.com/blow and use code BRIDGE20, like bridge over trouble 20. So again, that's tryroan.com/blow and use code BRIDGE20 to receive 20% off.
Okay, so mine was the thing about perm. So we learned about the thing about Pam from Chris D'Elia's podcast, Congratulations, which we listen to religiously, which should be the number one every week, but, you know, we can't let him have it every time.
I don't know. Sometimes he's not that great. Sometimes, but yes, he is.
But most of the time.
He's solid.
Makes me laugh out loud pretty much every time at work. So, but whatever. He was picking on, like, Keith Morrison. He's like, the thing about perm. But it actually sounds like that. But then I'm like, let's do it because I was going to, like, pick on it. But then I'm like, holy shit.
It actually is a good show. Keith Morrison is the host.
The thing about Pam is, like, crazy. So
it's a Dateline show.
Yeah, so the thing about Pam is a Dateline podcast with host Keith Morrison. And the story is 2 days after Christmas in 2011, Russ Faria came home from game night, and he found his wife, Betsy, she was dead. He was soon charged and convicted for her murder.
How was she dead? Tell us.
Well, you find her injuries.
No, this is a spoiler.
Well, she got stabbed or whatever.
Yeah. She got stabbed 52 times, and her wrists were slashed. And
yeah, but from what he saw, he just saw her wrists slashed, and he thought she committed suicide, so he called in. But we'll learn more about that a little bit later. I'm gonna unveil everything.
And they found Betsy with a knife stuck in her neck. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, I thought, yeah, too, yes. That's a good spoiler.
So he maybe thought she slit her wrist and shoved it in her neck.
But it's impossible to stab yourself 52 times.
But anyway, he was soon charged with her murder, and Russ insisted that he did not kill her.
But the husbands always kill the wives.
But Betsy's murder set off a chain of events that would leave one man dead, another man implicated, and expose a diabolical scheme that sucked in Dateline into it. Like, they actually got wrapped up into the saga.
Dateline became a part of the story.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah, that unto itself is nuts.
So, the prosecutors made a snap judgment when they convicted Russ. Usually it is the husband that is guilty, but not this time. You know?
Yo, I think they were fucking lazy as fuck.
Yeah, it's like kind of like they're just like hurrying up. Let's get this shit over with. So it's like crazy. But the police talked to a woman named Pam Hupp. And Pam was Betsy's best friend, supposedly. She was the last person to see her alive, actually. She gave her a ride home from her mom's house that night. She was over at her mother's house for some like family thing. And she gave the police a bunch of like false information about Russ and Betsy's relationship. She said that Russ was like violent and he wanted to kill her for her life insurance. But it doesn't make sense because Betsy had cancer, like terminal, and tried to kill herself twice, in which Russ saved her, and that's on the records. And,
yeah, it's like if he wanted her dead, why didn't he just wait it out?
So if she's terminally ill anyway, why would you try to kill her for the money? Just wait for her to die. I don't know. So, but in the end, Pam Hupp actually got the insurance money. Somehow she convinced her to make her the beneficiary of her life insurance, which is pretty fucked up.
I don't think that she convinced her necessarily. I think it was under false pretenses.
It might have been, because they did work for, like, an insurance company. Maybe she, like, pulled some trickery on her.
She did, yeah. She, like, had a girl at a library sign the papers like, a notary.
Normally you need a notary public, but if you're a librarian, it escapes the rules in some city.
That's so fucking weird, yeah.
Different states, I guess. I don't know. Not here, but...
No, not New York State, you got...
You have to get the notary public.
Yeah. You need a license to be a barber.
Yeah, it's crazy. You need a license for everything. So that's pretty crazy that she's... But she ended up getting all the life insurance money. They found out when they went to go bury her, they're like, oh... Well, Pam's got all the money. Like,
when, here's the deal.
But she was saying that, like, she... That Betsy wanted her to have the money because she didn't trust
Russ.
He would spend it all, not leave any money for her children.
So Pam was supposed to keep it safe and then dole it out to the girls once they were older, yeah. But she fucking cashed it 2 days later.
Yeah. Yep. So, she actually, I think it was like 20 days after... His conviction.
Oh, it was like 2 days after his conviction.
Oh, 2 days.
I don't know. Okay. Yeah, sorry. It doesn't matter. It's mad quick.
But Pam put $100,000 in a trust fund, and she was left $150,000. So she obviously spent $50,000 immediately. And then, she said she gave it to like a needy family, which is probably her. Shortly after the trial, Pam drained the trust fund completely.
So does Pam sound like an asshole now? It gets worse.
Oh, yeah, it gets worse. Definitely gets worse. So I don't know. It's like, when we decided to do, like, spoilers, I'm like, oh, this will be easy. And then I'm like, fuck, we got to list everything over again.
Yeah, spoilers is really, really hard.
Super hard, so...
Like, essentially, we got to keep writing stuff down as these really compelling podcasts go down, because now we got to listen back to other ones to make sure we tell you all of the nuances.
So, in the future, we're going to write down what we listen to. So, we'll probably have more in the future.
Oh, yeah. I got one that I have to re-listen to because it's called The Root of Evil.
Root of Evil. And I can do The Shrink Next Door.
It requires a little bit more research. It's an ambitious project, but...
It might be a once-a-month segment or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be good.
Yeah. Kind of regularly irregular. Mm-hmm. But I like it because lots of times we have to, like, be, you know, skirt around the things that we just really want to say, but we don't want to mess it up for you guys.
But anyway, back to the thing about Pam. all right, so it's Kathy Singer. She's the producer for Dateline. Keith Morrison's boss, pretty much. And she was consistently in touch with Pam during the whole Dateline coverage of, like, the case. So when there was, like, a second trial, the second trial was about, like, Pam's trust fund and Russ's lawyer repealed to get Russ out of jail. Pam was being, like, interviewed by prosecutors. She made a claim that her and Pam are lovers.
Betsy.
Yeah.
Pam and Betsy.
Oh, yeah. Pam and Betsy were lovers. Apparently, she was saying that they weren't attracted to each other, but they were intimate anyway.
How is that possible?
None of it makes sense. It doesn't really make sense. Like, so, it's pretty weird.
Pam's got a pack of lies.
Yeah. Pam's full of lies. So, and Pam's previous and current interviews were all recorded, and they were all, like, contradictory. Everything she said, which is crazy. Because he plays them on the podcast, and you're like, she said this. And then he's like, kind of contradictory. She says she did the opposite. She said this, and then, bam, the opposite. So it's pretty funny.
Yeah, she's slippery.
So I guess Russ's conviction was overturned, and Pam ended up going to civil court.
By the daughters.
After this, because insurance money, and the daughters were suing her. And Pam somehow won that one. I don't know why, because she was...
Pam won that one?
Yeah, she won because she was doing some word jumble stuff. You know, it's like, what do you mean by this? What do you mean by that? And she ended up being, like, a hostile witness. And, like, there was just was enough evidence that she actually won because it was Betsy. It was unclear that Betsy would actually give her the right to the money.
If that
makes any sense. Like, it was unclear that Betsy wanted her to have the money. And she was saying that Betsy wanted to have the money.
For the girls, but the girls were slandering her, so they didn't. She didn't give it back to them.
So it was unclear that Betsy actually wanted her to have the money for the girls. So...
Oh, so it could have just been, like, Betsy wanted her to have the money.
So, basically, her inconsistencies before...
Paid out for her.
Made her win that trial.
Yo,
Which is the luck of the dildo.
My mind wandered for 2 minutes, and I missed that part.
No, it's crazy.
But it makes sense for what happens next.
Yeah, so... You know, but at least, I don't know.
At least what?
At least what's his name's out of jail, so...
Yeah, poor guy, Russ.
Russ for, yeah.
He spent 4 years in jail for that, and he didn't do anything.
Yeah, but then after that,
After it gets worse.
Yeah, Pam actually shoots and kills someone in her home.
Mm-hmm. Self-defense.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pam actually shot and killed someone inside her home. She said this man broke into her home and was sent by Russ Faria to get his money, the insurance money. His name was Louis Gampenberger, and he was the man that she killed. But when they interviewed Louis's mom told police that Louis was in a car accident, like, years before and didn't have the mental capacity to commit, like, these crimes. He couldn't even run or, like, walk so good. He had severe brain damage and nerve damage in one arm. We could have limited use of his arm. And it's very likely that he could have committed any of these crimes that Pam was trying to...
Pin on him.
Accuse him of, yeah.
And what was the supposed motivation that Lewis had in order to break into Pam's house?
Oh, yeah, because she's trying to pin on Russ.
For the insurance money.
She's trying to make him the mastermind, trying to send this goon after her for the insurance money.
Bitch already sent him to jail for four years.
Yeah, she's trying to do it again.
Wow,
so.
It's done.
Yeah, but Russ was quickly ruled out as, like, a suspect. And that's pretty fucked up that Russ was twice targeted by Pam Hupp. The confiscated Pam's phone and her location detector was left on during this whole time. So they went to Google Maps and, like, mapped everything out. Like, you could see where she went. She went to dude's apartment of, oh, fuck, what's it? Gambit Burger. Mm-hmm. They went to Lewis's apartment and,
she picked him up.
Yep. Checkmate. Pam got arrested.
But what did Pam do? Because Pam didn't know him. You know what she did? She, and they tracked this as well. She was driving around. Oh, okay. That's next up.
Yeah, that's my next thing.
All right. Yeah. You got this.
Yeah. Before she set on Lewis Gumpen Burger, Pam tried to lure other victims in her car under the guise of a Dateline producer named Kathy Singer.
Womp, womp, womp. So her and Kathy, like, they had kind of an amiable relationship. They'd email each other back and forth.
Yeah, for the original Dateline series, she was having, like, definitely having a rapport back and forth, texting, stuff like that.
Yes. And after the civil court, or the civil trial with the daughters.
Oh, yeah, she's like, tell Kathy to say hi.
And they're like, that's kind of weird.
That's a little weird, yeah.
But there's a reason for it.
She was posing as Kathy.
And that's how she baited Lou.
Yep, and trying to lure victims into her car. There was, like, another girl she did that came forward. She called the police.
Yeah. Because Pam was essentially like, hi, I'm Kathy. I'm doing something for Dateline.
Yeah.
But I love that character, that woman who was like, you bitch is crazy.
She, like, she could tell she was crazy, but then she was like, let's see how far we can go.
Yeah, she was just like.
She, like, invited her to her house. And, like,
yeah.
She recorded everything, and it was just, like, amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
That lady really helped.
She took down her license plate number. Yeah.
It's like, this bitch is crazy.
She even got in the car with Pam, and then she was like, oh, I left something at home. And so, yeah.
Made her drive her back home to, like, I think I left the stove on.
Yeah, and then just didn't come out.
Just never came back, called the police. The police came, and Pam just, like, got out of it. It's wicked funny, dude.
Yeah, she is awesome. I wish I could remember her name.
Oh, what was her name? I didn't write it down, sorry.
Oh, yeah, well.
But she was cool. And, yeah. So that's our spoilers. That's all I got.
Wait, there's no ending? Yo.
What?
Pam was convicted of murder.
I already said that, yeah.
Oh.
I said, checkmate, Pam got arrested. Game over. Yeah, she got arrested for murder. Life sentence.
But she hasn't been convicted of Betsy's death.
No.
And that's the big thing. So this case is still ongoing, and Kathy wants to retire, but Kathy ain't going to retire until she sees justice for Betsy with Pam.
But what's the point? She's already in prison for life. She's going to get, like, a double life sentence? Or...
We just need accountability.
Yeah, I guess you're right, yeah. Just for a peace of mind, I guess.
Well, the fucked up thing is that the DA, who just totally phoned it in and pinned it on Russ... Like, even once Russ was exonerated, she was still, like, case closed.
Yeah, she's still going after him.
And yeah, it's like, it's not case closed if the court overturned it. That means you still got a fucking perpetrator out there. And she's like, oh, it's closed.
It just shows how lazy our system is, like, the system.
Some DAs are cool, but man, that bitch, like, yeah, they just want convictions. They don't care.
Yeah, they don't care, man.
They don't care who gets it.
Like, playing a game with, like, convictions and whatever, they don't care about people. It just sucks.
Yeah. So, Ryan, if I ever get murdered and if we have a lazy DA, you're going down.
Yeah, definitely, probably.
Oh, well, vice versa. I'm going down.
You probably did it then, so it's more likely that you would.
No. If I ever murder you, it's going to be a murder-suicide. That's okay. Our pact.
Well, that's good.
So I think this is, you know, I love the thing about Pam. You did a really good, you did a bunch of good spoilers. I'm very proud of you.
So hopefully we'll do other spoilers, but we know now that it takes a lot of effort.
But it's awesome, though, because it gives me an excuse to go back and listen to my favorite ones with all these twists and turns and big reveals and shockers. So
hopefully next time we'll have four, I think.
Yeah, yeah. We just got to do a little bit more research so we can do a bang-up job for you and just spoil the whole fucking thing.
All right. You got any special shout-outs?
Special shout-outs. Let's see here.
Like, Harmontown was good. Flew LeBorg.
I love Flew LeBorg. He was on fire. That's everything he was saying was golden. What was it called? Cool... like cool swishes and bomb dunks.
I don't know.
Yeah, something.
Okay.
Did you write down any more shout outs?
No, I didn't write down anything.
I didn't write down. So you're just putting me on the spot.
Yeah,
huh?
I'm just shouting out by memory. Okay, I don't know.
I got a quick one. It's called Instrument of Sabotage. That is from This Is Uncomfortable, hosted by Nymia Reese.
Oh, nice.
This one was insane. A flautist applied for, like, this really important conservatory, and he got turned down. And then he went back for a second audition, and they were like, what are you doing here? Like, he played, and he, like, the conductor was super mad.
Was he a skin flautist?
Like, as a secondary instrument.
Oh, he was!
Ew! So
ew!
You know what? I'm going to spoil this one, actually.
Mike Pompeo. Ew.
Boom, boom, boom. But let me hear Mike Pompeo. Pompeo.
All right.
All right. So he went back for a second attempt to try to get into this conservatory. And the professor or instructor was like, what the fuck are you doing here? And he was like, you rejected us. And he's like, what? You rejected me. And it went back and forth. And then they showed him an email where they sent him his acceptance.
Right.
They sent him his acceptance, and it shows a reply that he declined. And so he was like, how the fuck did that happen? Well, turns out it was a girlfriend he lived with at the time who didn't want him to move. So she hacked his email and everything, and he sued her. Because, like, he could have saved a bunch of money. It was, like, a free ride and all this stuff. And the courts ruled in his favor for $300,000. And now they can't find the girl.
Wow.
Yeah. That's pretty fucked up. All because she didn't want him to leave or whatever. Crazy bitch. Just fucked up all of his opportunities.
Well, that's how she goes.
Mm-hmm. And sorry I waved you off. There was some static there.
I just have one more shout out. It's not a podcast, but it's an audiobook. It's Catch and Kill by Ronan Farrow. Listen to that shit. It's really good. It's all about, like, the Me Too movement, Harvey Weinstein, all that shit.
Yeah, I guess NBC was supposed to handle the Weinstein story and put it on, like, Today and all these shows.
Well, let's not spoil it.
Oh, okay.
It's a shout
and they
out.
Dicked him around. But there was so much more than that.
It was a lot.
Ryan's telling me that Ronan Farrow is very good at accents, so I'm going to listen to it.
Yeah, so it's good to listen to the audiobook. You can buy the book, but, like, he does really good, like, Russian accents and stuff like that.
It sounds better if you listen to it.
It's wicked funny.
Good. I'm going to steal your phone or steal your Audible password, if that's possible. Or just buy Audible. Hey, Audible, you want to sponsor us? Yeah. I'll fucking hop on that free shit.
I think we got a phone message from James, remember?
Oh, yeah, let's listen to James. My microphone broke, and I'm doing a lav mic right now, and it just fell out. So now's a good time to stop. Let's listen to James. And thank you guys so much. We love you, and we'll talk soon.
You have one old message. Wednesday, 6:34 p.m.
Yes, hello. This is James.
End of messages.